The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, and we are in a historically significant edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network, and of course, Spectrum One. My name is Jason Block. Nikki Heyman is still on her media assignment, and this week I have a full table. Yay me! We start in the great state of Louisiana. If you could just unmute for 1 second and just say hi, Chief Huckety, hi, Muckety Muck, Carl Schneer. Welcome.
Hi.
Good. You know, I know you don't want to be here for a bit, but we'll just wanted to say hi and we'll talk soon. Thanks. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
You got it. To the great state of Florida, Chris Waters, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and one wrestling company survived hell and another one is going to hell. We will get more into that. We will get more into that as the show goes on, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, and speaking of hell, it's a hell of a long way to the great country of Australia for Bad News Beeman.
Yeah, it's not really that far. It's a 24-hour plane ride. Come on, people.
And, of course, my legal assistant this week, VRM.
Oh, yeah, legal assistant. I've got all the notes here. And, ladies and gentlemen, strap in. We're getting right into a bumpy ride.
Okay, now, usually we would start with the Pick'ems results because of the pay-per-view, and we're going to get to that. We're also going to get into how Hulk Hogan got paid, the Cruiserweights have a new show, and how Survivor Series is shaping up. And it's shaping up quite nicely. But first, oh boy, VRM, strap in, as you said. It's going to be fun because this week we thought the legal drama with TNA was OVA, over. No.
It's just getting started, Jason.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Why don't you just set it up chronologically?
All right. So we went off the air last week. Covering the actual hearing on they had this past Thursday regarding the temporary injunction. Nashville County Chancellor's Court, I forget who the Chancellor's name off the top of my head.
You mean Ellen, the judge?
Ellen Hobbs Lyle.
Right, that was her. Yep.
Yeah. Was set to make a ruling on it on this past Monday. The ruling came out and Chancellor Lyle has denied Billy Corbin's request for a temporary injunction against Dixie Carter and everybody in charge at Impact Ventures, the parent company TNA.
Which at that point means that basically Corbin is deleted, so to speak. Kind of. Yeah.
At the same time, they also dissolved the temporary restraining order Corbin had against the company. This comes out of PW Insider, a 19-page ruling that said that Corbin did not show a substantial likelihood of success for his claim, showing immediate irreparable harm to his position. They also agreed with TNA that the voting rights provision of their so-called pledge agreement was not implemented in accordance to Tennessee law and therefore was unenforceable, according to the Tennessee Limited Liability Company Operating Agreement. That said, the court did not adopt TNA's argument that potential revenue from purchasers buying the company refuted the facts and the insolvency standards. The main issue, though, was that Corgan couldn't prove that the company was insolvent because the pledge agreement didn't clearly establish what insolvent meant in terms of the pledge agreement.
Right. Okay.
Now, that said, the lawsuit is still valid.
And still open as we record this at about 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, November 3rd.
Additionally, TNA was also still required to pay Corgan back his $1.8 million on Tuesday.
Which, as we speak right now, hasn't happened, Chris. Interesting, no?
This is where things get a little tricky. This is where something we'll be talking about a little bit further in there. Oops, sorry about the noise there. Gets into this. Corgan, I really don't think, is going to get his money unless they're really forced to give it to him.
No, they are. No.
It's a contractual obligation.
Yeah, right. They owe him $1.8 million. He hasn't been paid. But we'll get to that. Go on.
Because now comes part two of TNA's week. And it's a bad thing that happened. Because on Tuesday, the day that they're supposed to pay Billy Corgan is $1.8 million, they lost Challenge TV, their main UK television partner.
And probably European, if my guess is correct. Mm-hmm.
The statement issued by Challenge TV on their website. We know that many TNA fans will be disappointed to hear this, but we wanted to let you all know that as of January 2017, Challenge will no longer be the home of TNA in the UK. TNA has been a huge and important part of Challenge's story over the years, and we will treasure some of the great moments, which should be like the British boot camp and UK tours. We have been proud to bring UK viewers coverage of TNA and have huge respect for the company and its fans. TNA is packed with great talent, and we know that they will continue to do great things. We wish them all the best.
However, here is the bullshit number one, okay? This is why they said that they lost the deal. We are proud to have had such a great relationship with Challenge and appreciate how the channel brought Impact Wrestling to our avid viewers through the years. In today's world, spoilers are inevitable. We've heard from the amazing fans in the UK, and I know you don't want to wait 3 to 5 days to watch the program after it airs in the US. Now, take that in for a minute there, Shane. How much bullshit is that right there?
That is the big show of bullshit.
Yes, exactly.
That is a walking, talking, 7-foot pile of shit. Like, come on, like, that's definitely a Dixie Carter statement right there. That's got to be. I mean, there's only one person that stupid that would say something like that.
We'll get to Dixie. We will get to
Dixie. Fans don't want to wait 5 extra days just to watch an event. You do realize that there are people that would wait literally a week or 2 weeks just so they can get freaking WrestleMania tickets, let alone anything else. So don't tell me that wrestling fans can't wait 5 freaking days for wrestling. Give me a break.
Considering that you record the shows like 3 months in advance.
Yes, exactly. And you can read spoilers on the internet. Bullshit. And yeah. There are tons of programs like Lucha Underground, like NXT, where the spoilers are abound, but people want to see it anyway. So screw that noise. Okay.
Yeah, Mike Johnson actually had a reaction to it, and I quote, yeah, spoilers led to one of the end of the company's most important TV deals. Let that claim sink in for a second. TNA doesn't want their fans to be spoiled. So they're going to stop airing the program altogether? This is a company that just filmed all their TV months in advance, and in January will film through April. I can't even begin to understand the logic in this explanation. It is as bad as the betrayal that the company chose to leave Spike TV. Right?
Well, I think I'm about to break the bullshit button because TNA's, you know, very bad, horrible week continues after this. So what do we got?
Yeah, so then we come to today, where Billy Corgan is still waiting to be paid. We'll get to that in a second. But TNA is getting another bailout loan. Because
It's not even a bailout loan. It's actually something very different mm-hmm. than a bailout loan. It's known as a credit relationship. Okay? Mm-hmm. They announced today that, excuse me if I'm taking over a little bit, VRM.
Right.
They announced today that Anthem Sports and Impact Ventures, that Anthem has provided a credit facility to fund operations, which is technically correct. It's a loan. Okay. The agreement includes that Ed Norholm is going to be the Impact Ventures board of managers, and it's going to be managed by the board with Norholm representing the board on all major properties. Dixie Carter will continue as the chair of the company as well as her position on the board of managers. Here's the interesting statement. Billy Corgan is no longer with the company. Bye-bye! He gone. He's deleted. Okay? And he said, we've had a successful long-term partnership with Fight Networks, our Canadian broadcaster.
This is Dixie saying this.
We have had a successful long-term partnership with Fight Networks, our Canadian broadcaster, and more recently as our global digital partner. Anthem's team has had extensive media appearance experience, and I'm excited to have that available to us as we plan for the future. We have consistently maintained that investing in content.
This is now CEO of Anthem, Leonard Asper.
Thank you very much. We have consistently maintained that investing in content as we grow our distribution is important as a strategic necessity, and working more closely with a strong brand is in line with that. This financing is an extension of the support we've been providing since the beginning of the year. There have been tremendous opportunities to support the company's growth on all platforms and all media alongside Dixie and the incredible talent and staff at TNA. Okay. So...
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, go ahead, next.
And then comes the dynamite.
Yes.
As we go over to Billy Corgan's Twitter, because TNA management can't shut the tweet up.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting from Billy Corgan, fact, TNA was supposed to pay me 2 days ago, which they swore to in front of a judge. Yesterday, they asked for a day to, quote-unquote, get money together, upon which, yesterday or today, they'd, quote-unquote, reach out directly to settle all claims. So they lied again and have used the time as a weapon. Fact, I have still not been paid, and I'm exploring all remedies, including new filings with court and converting to 36% equity.
Kaboom! Now,
can we really call that like a boom, though? Because let's face facts. I mean, there are TNA wrestlers in there that are probably like, Billy, shut the fuck up. We haven't been paid in 4 months. Screw you.
Actually, that's not true anymore. Actually, they've gotten their checks. They're up to date.
Yeah, I know, but they used to be able to say that.
Well,
it's like,
yes.
It's like, dude, you're complaining that you haven't been paid in a few days. We went 4 months and we're literally nearly breaking our necks before we even got paid.
But Chris, it gets worse. It gets worse because Dixie sent a letter to all the TNA staff, didn't they?
I haven't followed as closely, so I'll take your word for it.
All right, VRM, okay. You have the letter. You have this. Because there is one line that is such bullshit that I couldn't believe it. But go on, I want you to read this.
Oh, wait, I actually don't have the proper letter. I've got the, this is from a post by CJ Quinn on WrestleChat, talking about how Anthem's established the credit relationship with TNA that essentially has them taking over the company. Dixie sent a letter today to the TNA roster and staff informing them that TNA has, quote-unquote, concluded agreements with Anthem for a, quote-unquote, funding plan that will stabilize the company. Additionally, writing, "This is excellent news for all our shareholders, in that it means we, as a company, will continue to provide our fans with the best wrestling content on the planet."
Well, that's bullshit right there. But go on.
No, it's gonna get better. She goes on to say, "With financial stability, we can focus on executing our near-term objectives while planning a measured and thoughtful approach for the future." Referring to Aerolux as also an equity stakeholder. And then there's this line: "Over the years, we have built TNA and Impact Wrestling to be a very successful global brand. You should all be excited for its future and be more determined than ever to work diligently to take the company to the next level."
Oh, really, Dixie?
I think that's a typo, Dixie. You forgot to put the first letter in front of level, which was sub-level. Like, god damn.
Oh, excuse me. So, in other words, as you said, Shane, these people didn't get paid for a while. They've been busting their ass, and then all of a sudden now they should work even harder? What do you want them to do, kill themselves? Really?
Jeff Hardy, here's an example. Jeff Hardy nearly did kill himself. I mean, when TNA was in such a bad rating slump, Jeff Hardy did that very dangerous spot off the steel cage door where he landed flat on his back on solid steel and could have possibly made himself disabled just to get you ratings, Dixie. So don't say that he needs to push himself any harder.
Okay. So now, Chris.
Yes.
At this moment in time, where do you see TNA and where do you see the relationship? Because right now is 2017. I mean, again, we always say, is this going to be the last year? But what I'm saying is that Corgan was a well-liked guy and he got forced out. Plain and simple. He's gone. Okay.
If I were the TNA crew, after hearing everything that's come out with these lawsuits, and after hearing all this stuff that they say, including the whole thing that was revealed in the settlement, which I wasn't here to talk about last week, about the fact that Dixie told them to their face there was no working with trying to get a deal with WWE, which she had done before that meeting. So, another lie to go up against all this. Plus, there's still a lot of creditors to be paid. I would be part of trying to do a mass exodus of TNA as soon as I can. There are other options all over the planet. Even if it's not WWE, you still have Lucha Underground, you still have Ring of Honor, you could go overseas to WCPW for a little bit, you could go to New Japan. Dixie is going to kill this company, even if she thinks, oh, everything's fine as long as Daddy or some money mark's going to come here and save my sorry ass. So, yeah, Dixie, I hope for God's sake they walk out on you, and then the people that are funding you realize just how much of a screwy bitch you are, and hopefully you end up on the street destitute because Daddy kicks you out because you are a screw-up that he doesn't even want to fund anymore.
Well, she might not need to ask. She might not need to ask Daddy because there's another big daddy that just got paid a shitload of money.
We'll got to get to that in a minute.
There's a couple more here because now we get to the Twitter war. So
I'm not done with the Twitter, if you want to get to the Twitter war, but I do have a question. Okay. The question is now, I'm going to ask you, VRM, do you see a potential locker room exodus?
There is so much dirty laundry that's getting aired and on public record now. We have public record as well. It's possible. And with the Hardys going, or at least Matt Hardy heading over to have fun over with WCPW in England, I think actually both Hardys are heading over to England, and they just added that to their tour over there.
Jeff can travel now? Okay.
Jeff can't travel? Okay.
Oh, I don't know. If Jeff can travel...
I know Matt's going.
Well, of course, Matt can. He was the one got arrested. But, but what I'm saying to you is that I could see that possible. Shane, what do you think Billy's next move is going to be? Because, before you answer that, why don't we go to the Twitter war, shall we?
Right. So remember what Billy wrote on his Twitter about not getting paid and everything? Well, Fight Network had some rebuttal for that. Writing on Twitter, quote, "We reject Mr. Corgan's social media comments today regarding Impact Wrestling. The matter is before court/public discourse is inappropriate. There is a solid financial plan for Impact Wrestling, and Mr. Corgan's loan will be dealt with appropriately." Counter! At FightNet, terrible way to start our future relationship, what with the lying through counsel and propensity for press releases claiming victory. So when you sent out the press release today and one during lawsuit, which is still pending, FYI, that's not public discourse? Disc. And the use of reject in your tweet. Such strong language from Network of Fights.
So that was, okay. So in other words...
That is, I think, currently where the...
Billy Corgan is at the moment, right?
Let me just check the tweets and replies, see if there was anything else that they responded to with Billy. Nope, that's it.
Okay, I ask you... All right, I'm going to ask... Well, what do you think Corgan's next move is going to be? What do you think it should be, and what do you think it is going to be?
Well, I think he's got two main moves. One, fight for all he's worth to get his $1.8 million back, or try and force the 36% stake as per their pledge agreement.
Because if he forces the 36, it could get even more ugly really quickly. And he can, because I think he's in the right. Isn't he? Just because he's supposedly, right?
Because of the fact that as part of the terms, if they couldn't pay up or... Yeah, I think that's because I don't know anything about this pledge agreement. I don't think it's on file anywhere. And it was if it was in the exhibits on the lawsuit, it was probably redacted. I'm going to try and see if I can find it while we get ready for.
What I'm just asking is that all I'm saying to you is where this can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This was insane. And by the way, I don't think it's going to get even better. I don't think so. Do you?
No, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse, and we'll be lucky just to see what happens with the tape regarding the next set of tapings,
which are going to be in about 6 weeks from now, or about 2 months from now. Now that we, you know, if it goes through, we don't know if it's going to go through. I mean, they say it's going to go through.
They say a lot of things, though.
We've got the lawsuit that's still active.
Well, you've got the tax lawsuit. You've got the travel lawsuit. You've got the Aralux lawsuit.
You got the Bank Direct lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. You got a bunch of stuff. Shane, what do you see? What are you thinking?
I say death of TNA. Here's the sad truth, though, because it's not only Billy that's got the issue, because Billy definitely has to get paid, because you've got to honor your contract agreements, no matter if you've got a problem with a person or not. That's just a fact. But Dixie's got the problem of, because like Chris said, she can't keep going and running back to Daddy. So she's got two options. She either scratches and claws and sucks up to every network executive that she can and hopes for the best, or she's going to have to sell TNA. That's the bottom line.
And she's gone on record saying that she would rather see the company burn than sell it to somebody and see it as a success. Or words to that effect, anyway.
Hey, Dan!
My name is Daydreamin' Dan Reynolds, and I'm a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that! This gimmick infringement brought to you by your friend, the Daydreamer. How is everybody? I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Moving sucks. Having kids is awesome, but there's challenges. And yeah, I had to basically reset a computer into my network that I wasn't expecting to touch for another 3 months. So the fact that I'm only a half hour late is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you did. You did awesome. First of all, congratulations. First of all, on the birth of your son. May he come home. May he and your wife come home soon.
Yeah. Now she's already home. Thank God.
Yes. Yes.
But you know, we don't live too far away from the hospital, but it's looking like we're going to have to, he's going to be there for at least another month. So we're hoping before Christmas time. That's
crossing,
what we're
crossing fingers, man. Mm. Crossing finger. I just want to get your thoughts on the whole TNA situation. What are you thinking about this?
What a mess. What an absolute abject mess. And it just, it's a train wreck. It's an honest to God train wreck. You can't help but watch it. And you're going, now, wait a second. Is Vince Russo back there writing all this as it's happening?
This makes less sense even for Russo's standards.
But it's so asinine. I mean, it is a whole new level of what the fuck. I never thought I would live to see that. I thought it was bad when WCW went out of business, but I mean, finding out that this thing has been piecemealed and fractured, and I mean, somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Last I heard, they were 4.5 million underwater to various people. Is that
correct
number?
So, that's about right, I think. Right.
We've got 1.8 to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter million to American Express. Quarter million to that director company. So that's 2.3.
Another 200K to Bank Direct.
So that's about 2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
There was something about their merchandising people. They owe money to as well.
Right. And also the tax bill, which we don't know.
So look, the bottom line here is Dixie got herself in trouble, and she did what people who have always been used to having money but no idea how to get it do. She took out more credit, more owed more people, and never paid, because that just, you know, why would we expect this person to pay her bills? she knows nothing about the business. Well, maybe that makes her more like some of the old territory guys, but I mean, even them, this is such a travesty. And I really want to see somebody like Fight Network say, okay, we're going to start some crowdfunding or something to get them out from underwater and extricate her and keep this alive. Because I am of the opinion that we do need a second company in this country, and it needs to become it needs to become an international force as well. They need to go over to the UK and perform. Apparently there's I was actually just caught a video on YouTube this afternoon about the channel that's been carrying TNA will very shortly no longer be carrying them.
We covered Challenge,
right? So I mean, all things point to awful. It's just, what do you do? It's got to be rebuilt from the ground up. There's no way around it.
Well, I have a couple questions. I mean, yeah. Because we talked about this, I'm just going to ask you specifically.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because Corgan had a good relationship with the guys in the back.
Yeah.
And he's basically been forced out one way or the other, and still hasn't been paid as we know it.
Okay? Right.
Do you see a mass exodus from the locker? Or do you see them? What do you see?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't heard any reports yet, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't heard any reports about the boys not getting paid yet. So are they getting stiffed yet? Because if the talent's getting stiff, they're going to walk.
No, not yet.
Okay, so long as those, I hate to say it this way, my perspective kind of comes like this. So long as those checks keep clearing,
I don't think we're going to see a mass exodus. You might see the more, dare I say, and I don't mean this in any sort of derogatory way, the more loyal people who love the business more, and it's not simply that they're there for because it's their livelihood, but it is a passion on top of it. You might see those trickle out. I don't see a mass exodus. I will be very surprised. Now, the day that one of their mid-carders doesn't have that direct deposit or whatever, that's the day I see the revolt happening, and she will be the first against the wall when the revolution comes.
Oh, you ain't kidding. But it's going to be very interesting to watch.
I hope it doesn't come to that. I really hope for the sake, because I love performers. I hope that this can be salvaged before she drives it any further into the ground. That being said, I don't know what Dixie's deal is. Like, I would love to have a beer with her and be like, hey, so you just have a problem admitting you're wrong, or like what's the deal? Why
her deal is that she was born into money and she is so used to getting it. I'll put it even easier way. She's the real life version of Stephanie McMahon's character, only dumber. That's how I'll put it.
Oh wow!
Oh.
Wow! But you wanted okay, so. We will continue to monitor this as we head to the March to 450. but we had a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yes,
that was. It was a pay-per-view. Yes, it was. It was Hell in a Cell. And we won't go over the recaps because hell, recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
Right.
But the only thing I want to talk about was the fact of two things happening. One, we did have a women's Hell in a Cell match, and B, it closed the show.
It did.
Yes. Now, I'm going to ask you, VRM, first. Okay?
Did not watch the show.
Okay. Dan, you watched the show, I'm assuming.
Boy, did I ever.
Okay. Did the match live up to its hype?
Okay, so I love the WWE. And sometimes I feel it's an abusive relationship. That being said, the match was not helped by the existence of two other matches of the same gimmick on the card. I really enjoyed the girls' match. I really did. I bought into because okay. I bought into the retelling of Foley Taker. However ham-handed it was, it caught me right in the subcockles.
Yes.
Spoke back to 13-year-old Dan who got a hold of that King of the Ring tape, because I didn't have cable and I certainly didn't see the pay-per-view live because wrestling was the devil along with a zillion other things. I even forgive the whole we're teasing going up on the cage and then not really fully going up on it because they at least did something with it on the outside. There was interaction. And I had predicted that this match was going to be far worse than it was. I did not have high hopes. I had predicted in my wild card that they would have this Hell in the Cell match and it would be a vanilla match that had nothing to do with the structure. And I was pleasantly surprised. So because my bar was set a bit lower, I was more willing to suspend my disbelief. I think that there were spots that were really solid. There were parts that were belabored, but this is modern WWE here, where we're trying to recapture in a formulaic fashion that which we used to do organically. And so when you ask me, did it live up to the hype? Well, no modern Hell in the Cell match lives up to the hype for me. That being said, in the vacuum of this match, this space, this time, if I divorce myself from what I know the truly epic Hell in the Cells to be, yeah, I feel that it did. I feel that they deserve to close the show. I'm glad that they chose to do it. I'm completely okay with it. I was as pleasantly surprised with this with this match being an ending, you know, main event with two women performers, as I was, what was it, UFC, I forget the exact number, but the first time I saw Ronda Rousey fight, you know, it was a title match. It ended. Now, what helped that was Leota put on a stinker of a matchup right before the main event, where these two guys just danced around each other. So when these two girls came out swinging, boom, 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 that armbar, sure, it was a short match, but my God, was it riveting. Now, I'm not saying that Charlotte Banks was anything even close to the intensity of a UFC bout between Ronda Rousey and anybody. But I would have to pair those two instances where I went in skeptically into a viewing situation and was pleasantly surprised. So I'm happy with it. I want to see more of it. I'm glad they let the girls do what they did. Can we stop this whole no bleeding thing? I mean, I just
all right, Dan, I'm with you. Let me get some other people. Yeah, Chris. What did you think of the two different things that they tried to recreate? Dan mentioned, of course, the Foley Taker spots, you know, 2.0. But what did you also think of the Bayley Sasha entrance thing that they did?
Well, I was already worried when Sasha did that entrance, because the last time she did that entrance, she lost. So I do kind of find it interesting, and Charlotte's continued to use that entrance on Raw, so maybe that's now her new thing that she's going to be doing all the time. It shows that they want to make these women as important as they can, which is a good thing, because I was, even during the quote-unquote dark times of women's wrestling, I was in the camp that I was thinking, these girls deserve better. They do not deserve to be always thought of as the piss break match. And as for the Foley spot, yeah, I think you say it's the Foley spot, but it was more similar to the first Hell in the Cell with Shawn Michaels on the cage rather than Foley going through it, because they did the halfway up the cage instead of on the top.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand with it. But according, there is an interesting report. According to Ric Flair, there was apparently two spots that were cut out from it. He wasn't going to explain all of it, but he did hint that one of them was a moonsault spot. Mm. And thinking fully, did that mean Charlotte was going to try to do a moonsault off the top of the cell?
Yeah, I doubt. Yeah, there were rumors to that effect.
I would be more likely to believe that it was a midway moonsault. Or near the top, but not directly from the top. Dear God, I hope she would never do that.
It's been reported that apparently, WWE officials pulled two major spots from that Hell in a Cell match, and Sasha and Charlotte going off the top of the cell doing a moonsault was one of them, because they were worried she was going to injure Sasha. Oh yeah, fuck Charlotte. It's not like she's going to hurt herself.
Charlotte's a flair. She can take it, but And I also will say this, WWE, table spots with women are very tricky to do because they do not have the same body weight as men do in these. So unless you have some way of forcing the table through, either try to get a better table for those kind of spots, or just find other ways to do things, all right?
Okay, hang on. Now, this is where I'm going to open up a can of whoop-ass, because this is what pisses me off. Fans shit on this main event due to the fact of those two botched table spots. It's like, hang on. The first spot would have been amazing had it not been for the fact that it was that leg on that friggin' table was not welded properly and it snapped off. So that's the table's fault. That's not the women's fault. That's the table's fault. As for the finish of the match, yes, it looked terrible, and you saw that the women tried to rectify it when Charlotte, like, literally thrust Sasha Banks, trying to get her through the damn table, but instead she bounced off it again. So that's the reason why the ending of the match looked so weird, and why you guys, and why some of you certain fans, and I put that in brackets, shit on the match. Whereas with me, I thought, you know what, for a PG Hell in a Cell match, they did a hell of a lot better than Roman Reigns and Rusev. And in my personal opinion, it was it match of the night. It was a very close tie, if you ask me. It was between them and Owens and Rollins.
To me though, it was match of the night by far. I thought, and I'll tell you why, because of the presentation of it. And put it to you this way: Charlotte has become so much better at expressing emotion, better than she did a year ago. Because when she looked up at the cage coming down, you saw fear, you saw excitement. Yeah. So much better. You know what I'm saying? It was brilliant in its presentation.
And it's amazing how far she's come in this very short time she's been in the company, in wrestling altogether, now that you think about it, because I don't even think she's been there 5 years now.
Exactly.
I think Ric Flair said it best on an episode of Ride Along with Charlotte, saying that when it comes to matches with Charlotte and Sasha Banks, Sasha Banks is Charlotte's Ricky Steamboat, because they just bring out the best in each other.
And it showed. Let's get to the actual recaps, because I am handing the belt to somebody very new. Okay.
Oh?
Yeah. Tyler had 3 on the bottom. Carl, Cindy, Mike, and Shane. Sorry, you had 4, Shane. Okay. VRM, you got 5. Okay.
Yeah, wow. Screw WWE creative, not going with my Braun Strowman idea. Fuck you.
Okay.
Write him a letter.
Yeah, excuse me. Josh Henniger, you had 7. Jeez. Or 6, rather. 6. Okay. Nikki and 4th had 7. Okay. Dan, what? You and I finished in 2nd place with 8.
Again?
Okay? Yes, 8. That means, outside of the Perfecto, -1, the new NAWC Fizzleweight Champion with 9, Mr. Waters, the belt is yours.
Yes, it's finally happened.
Yes, is this your first win?
It's my first solo win on it, anyway. I was a co-champion.
The only one you did not get
was the main.
Was the main.
Yeah.
And the wild card. Me and Cindy were the only wild cards who played. Ooh. Okay. And, that's that. I mean, we will find out what happens in a couple of weeks, but man, I mean, it was a fun show.
Let's see, where's my blue spray paint to spray paint a W on this thing? No,
fly the W. There you go.
Don't get too comfortable.
Yes, because we got a pay-per-view in 3 weeks, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I want to talk about something very interesting first before we even get to the Raw and SmackDown stuff. First of all, remember when we said that Hogan was going to got a judgment for $140 million? Mm-hmm. And hey, VRM, you should be here for this one if you're still here. If not, so be it. The fact is, Hogan.
Still here.
Okay. Hogan got paid. He legitimately got paid. $31 million. That was the final payment from the $140 million judgment, because that was a judgment. I guess they actually settled for about 40%.
Yeah, it was.
About maybe 20-25% ish, because 10% is 14, 20% is 20. Yeah, about 20%, 22% of it. So his lawyer probably will get a third of that, which is about $10 million. So he comes out with about $20 million.
And 10 after tax.
Yeah, 10 after tax. There you go. Now, question, guys. When do we see Hogan in a WWE ring?
WrestleMania.
I'm not sure if we're going to see it anytime soon, because I thought I read somewhere that his daughter was trying to start up a promotion.
Oh, God, no. I didn't read that.
Why?
Wait. Hogan buys TNA. It's going to happen.
Oh, no. God, no!
If he kicks Dixie out, is that better, though?
No, it's really not.
No.
Now, if he's smart, he buys it out, he pays their debt, buys them, puts Corrigan in charge, and retires and collects money. And that's all he does. He doesn't get in the public eye anymore. You know, maybe he trots out from time to time at, what's their big pay-per-view? Slammiversary?
Slammiversary or Bound for Glory, one of the two.
Yeah. In a perfect world, maybe that would work. That's me, though. That's my way in.
Yeah. In a world where James Ellsworth is WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
We'll get to that.
and Sin Cara doesn't botch any spots.
Yeah, exactly. Ha, ha, ha. Now, speaking of Sin Cara, you know, I think WWE got smarter, or at least Mr. Levesque did. We're getting a full new Cruiserweight show, aren't we?
Yes. Which is 205.
205 Live, which I love the title for. Debuts what? I think the end of the month? 19th?
I thought it was this week.
I think it's the first SmackDown after the first SmackDown after Survivor Series they're going to be doing it.
Okay, let me double check of that. That would be the 22nd, is that right?
Let me double check. Hang on one second. Pull up, get up to the top here. I have research, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
November 29th. Like I said. So it's at the end of the month, which is going to be 3 weeks from Tuesday, right after that. And it's going to be a one-hour show that's supposedly going to be live on the WWE Network exactly after SmackDown. They say it's going to be live and it's going to focus on the Cruiserweight division. And we're also going to get, you know, the Cruiserweight division on Raw. Now, I have a question for you guys. What's your thoughts on this?
I will say this is a good idea because they have a lot of cruiserweights, and even with Raw being 3 hours, they only have so much time to show them off. This gives the cruiserweights more of a chance to build up personalities and characters to actually, when they go on to a Raw, they actually have more chance to get connected with the fans. Because right now, the only character we really have in the Cruiserweight division is Brian Kendrick with his desperation. And I'm not counting TJ Perkins' love of video games. That's just a trait, not a character. So this could be beneficial for them because I always think, as much as it's good to see the matches and get that, if you don't have something to connect with the wrestler, then it's kind of...
Doesn't matter.
Right, which is why I like something like Talking Smack, or even to a lesser extent, that Raw Talk thing that they did at the Sunday.
Oh, Raw Talk was awesome. To put Linus on the list was just great. He's a fictional character. Doesn't matter.
I can't do Raw Talk because it's the same exact people who do the pregame. That's what it's supposed to be. The pre-show nonsense, and the writing for those segments just grates on my ears. So I love Talking Smack. I'm all for that. I just can't do this group. I couldn't do them right after the pay-per-view. Maybe I'll tune in another time, but I didn't watch the inaugural one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Speaking of Talking Smack, I don't know about one, Dean Ambrose's idea for the Ultimate Iron Man match, or two, I have to wonder about his ideas about how to rip people's arms off, you know?
we'll get to that in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, Shane, what do you think of the... the Talking Smack, not the Talking Smack, the 205 Live, and what do you expect from the show?
I reckon it is a good idea because, like people said, like TJ Perkins needed a bit of work before he got the Cruiserweight Championship. We didn't get much chance to see what he was like, so I reckon 205 is going to help a lot of cruiserweights like that to help get to know him a bit more and. Eventually, get them into some nice feuds. I'm looking forward to it. Once again, another brilliant idea from Paul Triple H Levesque.
The only problem I can see with this, though, is just the overabundance of WWE programming that they have. If you, this, not counting Superstars and Main Event, because there's very few people that, in, at least in North America, that watch it. Let's admit that. I'm one of the few. that you got 3 hours of Raw, you got the 2 hours of SmackDown, more if you watch the pre-shows and Talking Smack. Then you got NXT, which if you're not watching that, that's still fun. Then you got pay-per-views on every other week, and now you add this 205. You got nearly 12 hours of rest of WWE in a week. So there is the chance of this being overkill.
And that's not even counting the nonsense like Total Divas and don't they have some other reality shows?
Total Bellas.
Total Bellas.
Total Bellas, and also all the network programming. However, I'm glad the Cruiserweights are getting exposure. I want them to have exposure. I want them to be around. You know, because again, you had the Cruiserweight Classic, and then you don't want them to become the bathroom break matches, do you?
Yeah, no.
Right.
And so I'm willing to give this show a chance and to see where they go with this.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Okay, I was just going to say, especially if they bring Jack Gallagher in, finally.
They'll bring him in. They'll bring, you know, lots of the other people who they've signed, including Grand Metalik, you know, bunch of other people who are there, you know?
I think that my take on this may be a little less popular. I certainly am excited about the show. I am of the opinion that perhaps for the next 4 months, maybe even 6 months, Cruiserweights should leave Raw and be exclusively on the network. And I say that because of the success of the Cruiserweight Classic. The thing the Cruiserweight Classic was truly missing for me was okay, so we got to know about the performers, but there wasn't storyline, and that's okay because it was a tournament. But let's take the same, you know, essentially that what they're doing is that it looks like they're taking the same more or less format and trying to add story to it to give them something to do. Let's let them live there. Let's let them be a regular dessert or an irregular dessert rather, you know, and maybe after a quarter, revisit putting some of them on Raw. After we get some of that groundswell for them. That's not going to work that way, but that would be my, in a world, perspective.
You know what, Dan? I'm with you, actually.
What?
Oh, yeah.
The end is not.
No. I think you're absolutely 100% right. I think the Cruiserweights should actually be a network exclusive. Because if I may be a little bit cynical, combine that and say, you know, the only place you could see the Cruiserweights is on the network. You got to subscribe.
Well, then if they show up at a pay-per-view, fantastic. Or gosh, you know, they show up at a house show. I mean, come on. Then it becomes a treat. It's we know that this is something special, something different.
Yes. Unique.
It's a wonder, not a, oh, right, we have those.
Yes, exactly. Do you agree with that, Shane?
I can see the positives behind that. I mean, yeah, definitely would get the network more buys. Like if you want to see most athletic competition in the world, then you got to tune in to the WWE network. So, yeah, I reckon it's a good idea. But then again, if it sort of takes away from Raw a little bit as well, because let's be brutally honest, without the Cruiserweights, would we really watch Raw? Like besides, like take away the Cruiserweights, take away the List of Jericho, would you watch Raw?
I mean, it needs help right now. It certainly does.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, shall we? Raw was really not much to write home about this week, and the ratings proved it. Outside of the fact that it was Halloween, okay. I mean, you had
At least they did one holiday thing with that. That's the good thing about those shows right there.
You had the trick or street fight, which was, you always have good doofus with, as you said, the certified G and the bona fide stud.
Going to infinity and beyond.
Yes, exactly. Now, it was also kind of funny to see Goldberg botch himself in the ring, which he actually said ring rust that happens on the Twitter. I mean, come on. And again, he wasn't in gear. He was in street clothes. Stuff happens. So I'm going to cut him a little bit of slack.
Right.
Okay. That's fine.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we say Nikki Heyman's doing her show thing. She's actually up in the New York area right now. She's checking on her dear Uncle Paul after the spear.
Yes, which was kind of cool. It was super cool. And of course, by the way, if you really want to make the list, go to WWEshop.com. They actually do have a "You Just Made the List" shirt. I don't know if you've seen that. Have you guys seen that yet?
I didn't know that.
Hold on. Why don't I pull this up for you? Because Jericho said that as a heel, you wouldn't want to do shirts as a heel. However,
this is his second shirt now.
Second? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had a drink it in, man, for the gift of Jericho shirt.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Well, I will just show you guys and tell me if you want this shirt, because I do. Take a look at this. Is that awesome?
My stuff's slow. I'm having problems, guys. Okay.
Sorry.
I would like it, but I just like tape over the Jericho thing and put B-Man on there.
No, but that's not bad, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
Okay. Okay. Well, there's also a Miz shirt, which is actually pretty cool. It says no. I'll actually show you that one too, because that's another new shirt that they've actually put out. Whoops, wrong place. Goes over here, doesn't it? It says no autographs, please, on the front. It says I'm so famous. It's pronounced hashtag Famiz. FAMIZ.
Jeez.
I love it. Isn't that great? God. No. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good.
I mean, Miz has been one of those characters that, I mean, I have an awful lot of respect for the guy. When he debuted in, what was it, 06, 07, I couldn't stand him. And it's been good to watch him develop. So, I mean, this element of his gimmick, I am buying it. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm cool with it. I think it's a good one.
I do have something to say about Miz when we get to SmackDown, though.
We're going to get there in a minute. I mean, of course, you had of course, a couple of other things. Are we upset with the way Bayley's being booked right now?
It's a very slow burn. I'm thinking they're trying their best right now to try to make it so it's Bayley, Charlotte at WrestleMania. That's my view on what they want to do. Will they make it? I don't know. I will reserve further judgment until after Survivor Series, but then again, I'm also a Nia Jax fan, so I don't mind seeing her on TV anytime.
Right. Okay. As somebody who has sat in an auditorium and witnessed an incredible worker like Bayley be lumped in with an individual such as Dana Brooks and have to do the damn arm wrestling match. I was pissed off. I was super pissed off about that. The crowd, my hometown crowd, was not having it, and rightfully so, because Bayley, I have a special place in my heart for her, and she's being mishandled, hands down. I feel like were she on SmackDown right now, she would be of more use. And in more interesting storylines rather than where she is in Raw right now. And I'm afraid that the the train behind her is going to start to fizzle. And of course, commentators are saying, well, you know, sometimes when someone comes up from NXT, there's problems with, you know, they were at a niche audience, da da da. And I'm going, Bayley's not a niche audience. That's clearly not the problem here. There's just, it's bad booking. It's absolutely bad booking, and she deserves better. And I hope and pray that that resolves itself for something like Charlotte Bayley WrestleMania, because I would be happy to watch that feud again. I think that they could do it even better on this larger scale.
I was going to say, I don't think that the Bayley train's going to be deflated. In fact, you know what? I think this feud's going to just get that rocket ship on the Bayley train, because the fact is, I think Vince knows a money grab when he sees one, and Bayley is over with the audience that Vince likes to adhere to, which is the families and the kiddies.
Right.
So, and guarantee you, she's probably got high market sales at the moment.
Yeah, her merch sales are high.
Yeah, so I think what they're doing right now, as much as I hate seeing it, they're building Bayley as the ultimate underdog, which we know for a fact she's not. No. She's being built as this ultimate underdog that has to topple the evil Charlotte. Eventually, after Survivor Series.
Mm.
But I see her winning the title, and I reckon we're going to get Bayley versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania 33.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be super fun. And you see, of course, then Banks' heel turn.
Yeah, you'll see. I guarantee we will see Sasha Banks turn heel by Royal Rumble.
Well, and quite frankly, I think that would be the stronger direction to go, because as much as I am a Charlotte fan, and believe you me, I love me some Charlotte. I'm very impressed with her. I can't say enough good about her, except that Banks can out-talk her any day of the week. Banks can out-talk her after she wakes up first thing in the morning. And so I'm interested to see a heel Banks with a face Bayley, and where they can go with that on this larger scale.
I'm more impressed with Charlotte. But before we go into SmackDown, I just like there was a couple of doofus moments that I liked. I loved the New Day as all of Charles Wright's gimmicks. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that was great.
Nikki said that Big E as Kama Mustafa looked more like Big E as Mark Henry in The Nation for some reason.
Yeah, I thought the same damn thing. I thought, what the hell.
And of course, you know, the golden truth at a haunted house was kind of doofus. That was kind of funny. Moving over to SmackDown. Couple of things that I'm really interested in, and nothing really having to do with James Ellsworth, believe it or not. Ellsworth was fun. I mean, that was great. But I am more interested in three things that really kind of, you know, hit up. Because number one, Orton now a member of the Wyatt family.
Mm.
That's interesting to me, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I support this decision.
I do too.
I don't know if it's a permanent decision, though, because I don't know why. I've got this inkling feeling that this is a Daniel Bryan move right now.
It could be, but it's a little bit more serious than the Daniel Bryan one, because at the very least, Orton was helping do stuff without being forced into it, unlike Daniel, who from the first week we saw him as a Wyatt, he was pretty much trying to undermine the whole thing. Orton at least is looking like he's trying to help out, although I have to wonder where he got his contacts from in that one segment.
What I'm just saying is that when he said I mean, there was some very good lines, like I was born with the devil's voice whispering inside to me, and Wyatt, you are a god. I had chills. Mm-hmm. I really did. Good stuff.
It could be an interesting thing if they use this as a way to build up Bray, have Orton be kind of like the veteran mind behind everything to guide Bray into higher up things, if you ask me. That would be what I would do if I was booking, but we'll see what happens. I am interested to see where this is going, though.
Shane, what do you think?
I agree. I think it's very entertaining. I like what I'm seeing. If it leads to Bray getting a major singles push and hopefully a chance of holding the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I say go, I'm all for it.
Number two. We had Miz TV. This was the interesting thing of the week. Daniel Bryan started to push Survivor Series, and we're going to recap what Survivor Series is in a minute. But they're teasing again Miz Daniel Bryan. They're teasing it hard.
I don't know how I feel about this, just because I have seen Total Bellas, and I've seen what the whole thing with they're saying that Daniel Bryan can never wrestle again, like never. If he takes one bad bump, that's it. He's done. He'll probably be disabled. But if you're honestly pushing this, and it does lead to one last match for Daniel Bryan, I hope to God that he is safe, because if not, then he's gonna be a daddy, all right. He's gonna be a daddy in a wheelchair.
And I don't like that at all.
No.
And Chris, I don't want to see this. If he is as hurt as they say he is, do you want to see this? No.
No, I don't, and I don't think we are, because I have another theory about what's happening. Because it connects to the match that happened after Miz TV, if we can call that a match. Notice, first of all, during the Miz TV segment, remember what colors Miz and Maryse were wearing during that segment?
Red.
Yes. Then Dolph Ziggler challenges someone from Raw to go after his Intercontinental title. Now, we've recently seen that certain contract things can cause somebody to go from brands. That's how Jack Swagger got on there. Last time Miz was talking to Daniel Bryan before this Miz TV, he was talking about renegotiating his contract again. So, my thought is, maybe Miz is going to get pissed off enough, he goes to Raw to get his rematch for the IC title at Survivor Series.
That'd be interesting.
That or because we know for a fact that the fifth member of Raw has yet to be announced, so it could be a surprise turn and Miz turns out to be number five.
He's jumping ship.
Yeah, either way he's jumping ship, but I really don't think it's going to be in the Survivor Series match because of something I have for the wild card when we eventually get to that.
I've already heard all the rumors that there was a leaked photo of Sami Zayn being the
nothing related to that.
Well, we're also going to have a very special guest in 2 weeks on SmackDown. You see?
Oh, he has
guest.
No, we're going to. I can't do his voice.
It's
I don't
okay,
have that.
Yeah.
It's time to return to the ring.
Yeah, or at least set up my next WrestleMania 33 match. Because it's amazing, okay? He goes from, as you saw this, you know, looking like 95 years old on two crutches, right? Then 2 weeks later, he goes and visits the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Undertaker looks like he's 14 again.
Right, he bathes right in the blood of virgins, obviously.
Obviously.
Is this a surprise to anybody else? He is the Phenom.
He is the Phenom. And then on Tuesday, the 15th, he's going to be on SmackDown for the 900th episode.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so what do you think? What do you think we're going to see?
Cena getting choke slammed.
I hope
Ooh.
So.
That would be interesting to see. That's one possibility. Second possibility is he aligns with his brother with this whole Orton Wyatt situation. Third possibility I could see someone from the SmackDown team gets taken out. Taker gets slipped in because last we saw him in a brand situation, he was SmackDown, and Raw has enough of the big talents. Why not have Undertaker be an unofficial SmackDown member for the whole
thing? And it will mark his 27th year with the company?
Mm-hmm. It'll start his 27th year. Yes.
Yes.
Because he debuted in 1990. That's correct.
Plus, you know Vince McMahon would love to have an Undertaker Braun Strowman stare down in the ring. Hell, that's why
Chris, don't say that, please. Because now you're just hinting that we're going to see Braun Strowman versus friggin' Undertaker at WrestleMania 33. And nobody wants that.
Well, it's two big guys. They're two huge guys just ramming into each other. Thanks, Vince.
That's why I think they put Baron Corbin on the team for the possible stare down with Braun Strowman.
Just a couple of things, and it ended. SmackDown ended with Ambrose actually getting the number one contender spot, which he is going to fight at TLC in a TLC match against AJ Styles. What a way to end the year for the Wrestler of the Year! Did I say that?
Can I just say something with James Ellsworth though? Can he please stay out of the main event picture? Because just my personal opinion, he's funny and he's got like a lot of people behind him, but I personally feel that he's killing Dean Ambrose right now.
I happen to agree with you. I
think you just have a problem with Mikey Ripwreck 2 Electric Boogaloo. and I feel that you need to take a moment to acknowledge that. And
I can guarantee you right now, mate, if Mikey Ripwreck saw this bloke, he'd tear him in two.
I know. Oh, no, totally.
Wait a minute. I thought James Ellsworth was Colin Delaney 2.0.
Yes, thank you.
There you go.
He's the Colin Delaney, or I will go as far to say the Zach Gowen of now.
Yes.
What makes him so over with some people, though? That's what I want to know. Because, I mean,
David Otunga.
Say again?
I blame David Otunga. If it wasn't for that no chin music bullshit, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, he does have a good super kick. You have to admit that.
Oh, no, he's got an awesome super kick. I'm not going to deny that. I haven't seen... I will admit that's probably nearly as good as Sean's, but that's just...
Well, but honestly, though, besides Otunga, what are the fans resonating with this guy on? Because I really... the jury's still out for me. I could take or leave the guy. He doesn't seem... I love AJ, so, you know, the fact that he's... He's my bromance, and so the fact that he's been involved with stuff with AJ, I tolerate him. But I'm reaching for it. What on earth is
it's a unique look, a lovable loser character, because he was the first of the Braun Strowman victims during Braun's jobber killing streak, and just like a recurring character thing, kind of like not the same kind of extent, but kind of like the Brooklyn Brawler when we would appear out of nowhere and. Stuff like that.
I think that's it right there. I think it's just because of the fact that he looks like an average person, like compared to all the other guys you see, with say like John Cena or Randy Orton or someone. The fans can actually resonate with this guy because he actually looks like one of them. There's a 14-year-old skinny kid going, "Hey, that guy's the same size as me."
That's why there was fans of Spike Dudley back in ECW. He was probably even smaller than Ellsworth was.
He was, but Spike had guts. I mean, he left him on the ring enough times. You know,
or in the crowd with tossed by Bam Bam.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, I mean, we're obviously not seeing that sort of madcap, you know, smash mouth stuff out of Ellsworth because we're in the PG era.
Yeah.
But I got to look up this guy a bit and see into his background, because the thing that drove me to Spike Dudley was the fact that he was like a second grade teacher before he became a wrestler.
Well, Ellsworth runs his own promotion, actually. So
okay.
I've seen him. There's this one picture. I don't feel like looking it up right now. There's a That's picture fine. Of him wearing a leather jacket carrying a title belt over his shoulder somewhere.
Okay.
So he has the wrestling experience. He can be probably a serious competitor if they wanted to be, but he fits a role of a comedy character that has been lost in a way, in that kind of sense. He's like
Santino Marola.
Pretty much, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's kind of like a less what's the word?
Goofball.
No, not less goofball. Well, he is less goofball, but that's not the less threatening version of Santino Marella, because Santino actually won titles.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Let's before we wrap up, I just want to look. Let's preview the Survivor Series card as we see it so far. We have the Icon versus Icon match with Lesnar versus Goldberg. We have Ziggler open challenging anybody on the Raw roster for the IC title. Now, I have a question for you. Who do you think that's going to be? And who do you think, and will they take it?
I don't see the belt switching unless they find a way to switch the U.S. title over to, to SmackDown, or the Cruiserweight title, if they're going to do this thing right after SmackDown anyway. And I already said my piece about what I think is going to happen with that thing, with Miz and everything. If they don't do that, though, I think it would be a face-to-face thing, and then Miz gets involved just so he can keep the title on SmackDown. And since he's not doing anything else, why not put Ziggler against Sami Zayn, for crying out loud?
As I say, it's either going to be Sammy or Strowman.
Well, Strowman's in the Survivor Series match.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't stop them from double booking people on something like this before. Otherwise, the only other... Well, what's Jericho doing for this card?
He's part of the Survivor Series match.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, well, yes, let's go to that. Where are we here? We're in the Team Raw is Kevin Owens. In the 5-on-5 match, we have Kevin Owens and his best friend, Chris Jericho, with Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and somebody else versus AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin, and Bray Wyatt. Interesting.
Notice something about those teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one face on either side right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't think that's going to last with the Raw team, but we'll see. But let's go on.
Okay. In the women's side, as of now, on Team Raw, we have Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, and Bayley, with two other people to be named later. The women to be named later, excuse me. With Becky versus Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Carmella, Alexa Bliss, and Naomi with Crazy Cat Lady, Coach Natalia, as the sixth lady, yes.
The song quoting Coach over there.
What?
Didn't you see that segment with her?
Oh yeah, she quoted R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Yes.
Yes.
Aretha Franklin. I kind of blocked that out because Aretha Franklin is the person who screwed me over $250,000, and I still need therapy for that for 16, 17 years later. And finally, in the tag match Survivor Series, we have New Day versus with nobody right now. Probably we're going to see Enzo and Cass, The Club. Who are the other tag teams?
Sheamus and Cesaro, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the men that are currently getting high in Puerto Rico exchange.
Oh, Shining Stars, right. Versus the Team SmackDown, which is Heath Slater and Rhino, Hype Bros, American Alpha, The Usos, and who do you think the fifth is going to be there?
There's not much choice now. It's down to Breezango and the Vaudevillains. Unless they drag Unless they drag out another team like they did with Headbangers and the Spirit Squad.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know it won't be the Bangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they lost this week.
So the Spirits, well, no.
Don't know. Don't know. But again, it's looking quite interesting where they're going to go with this. But the thing is, they also have to pad matches because, remember, this show is going to be a four-hour show.
Gosh, I mean, are they going to give a lot of time to cruiserweights then, I'm guessing?
Well, I'm guessing we're probably going to see TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick one more time, I'm guessing.
Will there be a six-man something with the remaining cruisers? Because that's the match du jour these days.
Or they could just have a Survivor Series cruiserweight match that's not Raw versus SmackDown.
God, that'd be awesome. Proper, like, yeah. Battle Royal or
yeah.
Rumble.
Could be.
All right, so then who's left on the roster then to challenge for, or who's not doing something that night already from Raw?
Let's see, we've got R-Truth and Goldust.
Yeah, it won't be that.
They could be on the tag team division.
Mark Henry. Mark Henry, Neville.
Oh, I would love to see a Neville Ziggler match for the IC title. Yes, please.
Rusev, Darren Young, like heaps of the cruiserweights, Cedric Alexander, and all them. Seth Rollins isn't doing anything.
No, he's not. No,
that's who I think is going to be.
And Mr. Promotion himself, Titus O'Neil.
No, Rollins. Rollins is not in the. I'm guessing he's going to be the fifth guy on Team Raw.
Yeah. Can I spoil my wild card now?
Sure. I'm not going to steal it.
Okay. I'll just say it now, and I'll reiterate when we get to that show. I'm not going to say who's going to win it, but at the end of the match, all the heels are going to go after the faces in this match. And at the end, you're going to see, one night only, a brief reunion of the Shield. Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns are going to clear the ring of the heels that try to attack them.
That's fair, and that'll make sense because if you notice, they did a little tease of that on Raw Monday night.
Yes,
and you know, I don't think Reigns and Rollins are going to be there yet because they got to slow burn that too, don't you think?
We'll see. I'm just going to stick with that for my wild card for right now.
That's
unless
cool.
Unless I think of something later.
But I'm telling you, but this week, like I said, is an interesting week. WWE is going to be in Europe this week, where SmackDown Live isn't going to be live, per se, because they're not going to show it at 3 o'clock here in the U.S. It's going to be plausibly live, like the Raw and SmackDown are. I believe.
I would love if they could make an agreement to do that, though. Show it live, and then reshow it later at its normal time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you can catch the Hulu version the other day after anyway, so, right. You know.
Yeah. I would love to see that, but I don't think they'd ever do that. Because I don't know exactly where the shows per se are going to be. Let me double check that.
Glasgow for SmackDown.
SmackDown, right? And then Raw is going to be. Let's see. The Hell in a Cell is on demand. We go to Raw. Check this out. Oh wow! It emanates from. It's Scotland as well. It's also Glasgow as well.
Okay. So the whole company is chilling in Scotland this week, huh?
No, it's Europe, actually. They're also going to know. We're going to find out who the final remember. Oh, and of course, Jericho. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so the Jericho, I think, is going to actually fight. Probably Jericho is going to fight the Reunited Shield on Monday, actually. They're also going, which, because they also have the Raw preview up already. It's like, who's going to be the final member of Team Raw? We don't know. And they're also all talking about who Charlotte Flair and or New Day is going to thing, and who's going to answer the Intercontinental Challenge, and of course the TJ Perkins thing. So yes, so it's going to be from Glasgow this week. They're on one of those brutal 2-week European tours, and they were also some of the other crew are in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia before they go to Europe for another week, because they go to Europe twice a year, and this is one of those brutal 2 weeks that they go right after WrestleMania and right around now.
Yeah.
So we will have a little bit of European flair next week. But
what if William Regal is announced as the? No, just kidding.
Yes, and of course I also in a couple of weeks will be at the NXT show, New York before TakeOver. Which, by the way, it's going to be interesting. Oh, but before we go, I wanted to talk about something else before we did this. And we have to thank our good friend Brian Henniger for this. Which is a list. I think this is the first time PWI has done this. Is that true? What do you think? the female top 50.
I don't know.
Well, they have the female top 50. Okay. VRM, do you know if the list that Brian thing, the PWI female top 50, is a first?
No idea.
By the pro wrestling industry, women's top 50.
I don't think it is.
It's not.
You
okay.
You can see from the numbers that the women have dropped from last time that it's not.
Mm.
Yeah, they have gone. They've been doing this since 2008.
Oh, okay.
Can I just say a big congratulations to Australian Madison Eagles for getting number 13. That's awesome.
Okay, well, let's go over the list. It's interesting that the number one last year, Nikki Bella, is not. Let's just see where she is in the whole list.
Where she belongs.
Where? Let's see. She's not even on the top 50, is she? Wow. Okay. Well. Let's go with the top 10. Number 10 is Sienna. Number 9 is Sexy Star. Number 8 is Gail Kim. Number 7 is Natalia. Number 6 is Jade. Number 5 is Bayley. Number 4 is Becky Lynch. 3 is Asuka. 2 is Sasha. And 1, of course, is Charlotte. Is that about right to you?
I guess.
For the fact that Asuka's not on the main shows yet, I think that works. And Bayley, Bayley's year was kind of rough this year.
For me, one, I'm surprised Natalia's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'm surprised she's above Sexy Star, who is, if you haven't watched Lucha Underground, is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think it's partially a notoriety thing compared to the casual anyway, for anybody that watches outside of it.
If her uncle wasn't Bret Hart, no one would give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, but, true.
And of course, number 50, Eva Marie. Just saying. Okay.
Yeah. For a woman that's been suspended, hasn't been on TV in weeks, and barely wrestled matches.
The announcer got her there.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, number 50 on the PWI.
All right, everything herself, Eva Marie.
Yes, if exactly. Only. Yeah, if only. Oh, man. It's going to be a fun week next week from Europe, don't you think? Just going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if, because they're going to be in Europe, are we going to see the debut of Emelina in Europe?
Mm.
I wonder.
Don't know.
They should save that for when you... And I know it's a main roster thing, but they should save that for when they do the NXTs in Australia, if you ask me.
Oh, by the way, did you get your tickets?
Yeah, I'm getting them this Wednesday after I get an advance payment. So I'll be buying the front row ticket, and I'll be there.
Nice.
Yay. And when will that be?
It'll be 11th of December, so early Christmas present for me.
Nice.
Good for you. and just to have a blast because the NXT shows are insane.
Yeah, I'm a bit bummed though because I was looking forward to seeing Austin Aries, but due to the fact he got kicked in the face.
Oh yeah! Did you see those pictures? Wow!
He got a fractured orbital socket, and he's going to be out for 7 months.
Jeez.
That's the second person that Shinsuke Nakamura has injured this year.
Okay, hang on. Whoa. Let's remember. First one was kayfabe.
What? He did not break Samoa Joe's jaw?
No.
Okay, Joe's, I thought he did.
No, Joe was just a really good actor and said no.
Okay. All right, so this is the first one. All right, I'll cut him a little slack, but damn, did you see those pictures? Oh
yeah, I think bad. From what I saw, Austin just turned at the wrong time. It was a complete freak accident what happened with there. Now, if another one happens, then we start worrying about Shinsuke's future.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of the two. Austin Aries turning too early and Shinsuke thrusting a little too hard. Because I saw that kick and that connected well.
Yes.
Oh, it's just, yeah.
Like as soon as Austin Aries hits the ground, watch the video, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as Austin Aries hits the ground, referee looks down at him, sees his eye is completely messed up, and says, "Nope, done. X.
Yeah.
Can't even do it. Nope, we're out.
we're done. Goodbye." Yeah, exactly. But wrestling. Maybe wrestling ain't fake. Is what we call predetermined. There's the difference.
Yes.
The only difference between that and the NBA is we're at least honest that it's predetermined.
No. Look. And this is. Excuse me, Dan. You just set me up. Because I mean, look, the baseball World Series went 7 games. And the magical Game 7, it was booked better than any WWE creative could have ever done, okay? And
it was apparently, and this is just going off reports here, it was the highest watched baseball game in the last 25 years with over 40 million viewers.
I'm so happy I was not one of them.
Uh-huh.
It's baseball, I don't care.
I know. But a lot of other people do care, and we will be talking about in the season finale edition of Touch 'Em All here on Spectrum One. Hopefully, we will have Jim Williams back, but DC Lundberg, myself, and others will be talking this weekend about the magic of Game 7 and the magic of this series and how awesome it absolutely was and how it ended a pretty magical year for both teams. Chris, you and I actually did a show with Nikki this week.
Yeah.
We did a paper review. Tell us about it.
Yes. Nikki and I managed to drag Jason Block in to do Clash of the Champions 9 with the famous I Quit match between Terry Funk and Ric Flair. And a few other things happened on the show, too, but they're not that important. So... But yes, you can check that out at tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. Paper review is where myself, Nikki Heyman, and whoever we can drag along onto the thing, look at the various pay-per-views, Clashes of the Champions, and Saturday Night's Main Events all through the years as I try to give Nikki a little background since she didn't start watch wrestling until the year 2000 so she can see where everything came from that she liked. And... any non-related plug to any of this, I will also say, if you haven't seen them yet, go on to WWE's YouTube page and look up the current Breezango videos that they have, where they are the new fashion police of WWE.
They're wearing cop outfits, right. I've seen the pictures. They look funny.
Yeah. They Doofus Maximus for them, yes.
Doofus Maximus. Of course, we will be live casting the election results. I've seen your post, Daniel. They've been very thoughtful. No, seriously, I'm complimenting you. They've been very thoughtful and very interesting.
I had a rough day today as I called out some former Red brethren of mine saying, look, this stuff's going on. It doesn't matter who the if it's a false flag or not, but someone's got to decry this. And I guess Trump's campaign did, so that's
yes.
cool.
Yes, they
that's
did.
That's restored a bit of my faith in humanity that this will be fine on the other side. But no, I just it's been a real... God, you know, you become a parent, suddenly you're a liberal, and I don't know, it's weird.
No. You become a parent.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're...
I have to say it this way. I my son's life has been bought for me by the good people of Minnesota, and I will never be able to repay them, so I'm done complaining about my taxes. I'm a true believer.
Yes, I understand. I'm with you there. We just recorded an episode of We Love to Interrupt. We talked about Big Money Week on The Price is Right. We had some fun talking about that. We talked about, you know, the shows that are around now. We reviewed a crappy show called, I forget the name on Oxygen, having to do with, like, Worst Squad Ever or whatever the hell it is. Mm. Or I have no idea. Don't really care. Pixel Nation will be back this week because we are heading into the pure holiday season. As in 2 weeks, 3 weeks from today, I believe, is Thanksgiving, and then 3 weeks from tomorrow is Black Friday. Holy crap! And then we could officially start the Thanksgiving, you know, not the Thanksgiving, the holiday stuff, not some of the commercials I've seen already. Black. Mm. Okay.
And we find out if Josh Henniger is still alive after all that.
Yes. Yes. We think, well, he's actually in Detroit this week. I'm glad he's actually enjoying himself. He's taking a week, boy, taking a week off, weekend off from being stat boy, which is kind of cool. Mm. And of course, Chief High Muckety Muck, if you can open the mic for a sec. If you're still there, okay, he's not. That's okay. because we can also talk about the BS Big Show. We are in mid-season form. We talked about we did it last night, and we talked about the actions and inactions of week 8. And of course, I did my BSFFL live. And we had the post game that was going on now because I believe the Falcons crushed the Buccaneers tonight.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah, and boy, those color rush and the color rush uniforms still stuck. They just terrible. And of course, you could listen. And of course, you have the panel with Gordon Pepper talking about the UBA and all the shows that you can hear on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play Music, pretty much anything else. Daniel, do you have anything specific to promote yourself outside of the GoFundMe? What is it, the GoFundMe page?
It's a You Caring page.
You Caring.
And I can get you guys the link to throw that on the description for where this streams. Well, I mean, I'm shooting two projects in the next 3 months here, for the Twin Cities for the Twin Cities Z Fest, which is a short film festival, and we're also participating again in the international 72-hour project Four Points, with Reed Grillin and I Productions, but really nothing specific at the moment. Did I say a few weeks back that Nikki and I worked on a project that was recognized by International Best of Shorts?
I don't think so, but you want to know something? Let's talk about it again.
Right. So, in my spare time that I have so much of, I write screenplays, and I wrote a piece. That Nikki features in. Of course, she's under her other stage name, and she has many. She's a woman of many names. We were recognized for this piece dealing with persons with disabilities, wherein Nikki plays a character who is suffering from, it's never fully defined exactly, but it manifests itself in similar ways to dementia and ALS. And you know, so in 7 minutes we tell this impactful story, and Best of Shorts found us and said, yeah, that's the one. That's on our YouTube page with We Grillin' Tonight Films. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that she's been in that she probably doesn't want me to talk about, not because it's racy, because it's not very good. But this is the one that got recognized.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. Hopefully she will be back next week. If not, she's going to be continuing to film the big project she's working on now, which she will discuss when, you know, at stuff. VRM, do you have anything?
Not that it's already been mentioned, because I'm just looking at some of the headlines from the Cubs.
Yes, there's some amazing stuff.
The Chicago Tribune, at last.
Shane, anything?
No, I've got nothing.
All right. Well, that's it for myself and everyone here at the North American Wrestling Connection. Well, I want to thank everyone who showed up tonight. I want to thank VRM. Thank you for all your help on the TNA situation. Shane Beeman, of course. Daydreaming Dan Reynolds, congratulations, of course, on everything one more time.
Right now.
Chris Waters, and of course, the chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneer. My name is Jason Block. We will be back next week to cover all the stuff as we head towards the Thanksgiving tradition known as Survivor Series. And all the news that will be on there. And will TNA be around another week? You'll find out. This is Jason Block saying so long. We'll be back next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.